Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the LOA Blend. My name is Elisa.
My name is Liz. Sounds like we're all doing stuff. I'm just sending off an email to somebody. There's stuff going on with you. And here we are. Present.
Being present.
Thank goodness. Our little breath, so we can all catch it together, have an energetic reset, have some good conversation. You know, it's very interesting because not a lot of my friends, I would say most of my friends don't know I've been doing the show for 6 years. Not that I'm hiding anything, but nobody really gets that deep anymore. You know,
right.
I'm lucky I get a how are you, how's Steve, how's the kids, how's work, that's about it, how's your mom? That's it. Not how are you doing, you know, energetically, how are you feeling? No. There's just so much busyness, and I say that with quotes, so much chaos going around that the conversation never gets deep enough to the point that I would disclose something that I feel is an intimate thing to disclose. You know, I do the show.
Yeah.
I do readings. I'm really good at it. So this should make sense because every time you have a problem, you know, you go, oh, and you think, I have the answers, or you say, and so funny, there's a couple people that are both friends but also people I work with professionally on separate occasions and not together because they're completely separate. They both said, you're never wrong. I'm like, don't do that. This is always like, nope. Oh. You give me too much credit. No. And it's really funny. I laugh to myself and I think, oh, my God, they think I have some magic power. This is crazy. But but if they even took it a little bit further, I would say, yeah, well, I do the show. So it's actually developed maybe some skills that I had kind of buried, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. Then I have I have two friends that are spiritually minded, let's say. It's very interesting, but I'm not going to judge. But on separate, again, they don't know each other, separate occasions. So, you're getting paid yet for the radio show? Or, so, oh, you're still doing that? And I find it's really funny. And what they don't understand is that what you and I do 3 times a week, first of all, it's nobody's business, number one. But number two, but that's not the point. The point is that this is an energetic space for us to do our service. This is probably why early on, Elisa, when you were so inundated with all these obligations you had as a volunteer. She put the V in volunteer back in the day. This one. You know? And I think why it was really a smooth transition, one, everything for you to learn from that situation, the people, whatever, the karma, whatever you want to call it, all that resolved. But I think also space was created for doing this show to be a huge part of doing service. And what's really interesting, the two people that don't know each other, that know I do the show, don't listen to the show so I can speak. Hello, because I know you're not listening. Right? Isn't that funny? I know you're not listening. Both have issues with work, entitlement, very judgmental. But see, many spiritual people can be extremely judgmental, probably more judgmental than, you know, lay people in some cases, which I find really interesting. Oh, no, you attracted that. What's it could be very petty, very toxic.
Right.
And what I want to say to them is that this is why I know I'm always taken care of. We could have our bumps in the road, i.e. my husband getting laid off in April. We could have our bumps in the road. We could have all these things. But I also know that not that it's the reason why I'm doing it, but energetically having service incorporated as part of your lifestyle, right? Because I feel doing the show is part of my lifestyle. You know, we're making the time to do it. We're committed to it. So that's a lifestyle choice. I think you would agree with me on that. That creates the energy. It's like a generator. So this is why I'm going to get that random email. Oh, we'd like you to teach this class. Oh, I haven't heard from them in years. Okay, cool. Ka-ching. You know, whatever. Oh, I'd like you to ka-ching. Yeah. And I'm now really as of probably yesterday, more at peace than I've been ever from when my husband got laid off. I am now at peace with it.
Wow.
Yeah. We had a little visit to the Social Security office, which really helped. Okay? We had a sit-down. We had a sit-down at the Social Security office, which really helped. And God bless him. He's really smart. He found a loophole here, a loophole there. We crawled into the loophole, and we made it happen. So we're good. We're not in trouble.
Wow.
We're not in crisis.
Right.
We're not in crisis. We're not in crisis. And remember, I've been saying this for years on the show, the same character in Japanese for crisis is opportunity.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
So we're doing our service. We are making for our lives an energetic investment. It's never been an issue. How are we going to approach this in a way that it can be monetized? Because it's not about that. Listen, I'm all for a private reading. You know, so are you. We're all for private readings. LOABlend@gmail.com. We're really good. We're really good separate. We're amazing together. You know, great. That's a separate issue. That's a beautiful thing. That's not the show. We might get clients from the show, but that's not why we do the show.
Right.
You know, and we don't know what's going to happen in the future. You know, I have this vision of one day the LOA blend going on the road, meaning we'll do this, but we'll do it live. We'll do workshops based on this model, the blendiness, so to speak. I can see that happening. But that's not why we're doing the show.
Right.
For a future goal, I would think that if that's been in my field of energetic vision for a while, that it will land when it's supposed to land on its time, on source's time.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I just think it's very interesting to start the show with this and in thinking about how we ended Tuesday's show. Maybe it's interesting. We ended Tuesday's show where a caller called and they were struggling with how to monetize their skill set, et cetera. And then I don't know what happened. Was it a technical thing that happened that all of a sudden?
We couldn't hear her. She couldn't hear us, but she was still in the queue. I hadn't touched anything. You know, all indications were showing that she was still, the microphone was still live and all that. But and at some point, I'm like, well, I don't know what's going to happen. So I put her on mute because we really were winding down the last few minutes of the show.
Right.
So that was one where she probably just needed to listen. Then to
Look at how source works.
I guess, you know.
Yeah.
That's just what I could. Because,
I didn't think of that, but I think that's a good point.
She's someone who's called in a few times, and usually, you know, it tends to center around pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
you know, with work, and then sort of was feeling, well, not always it's with work. It's with her, it's usually some take on relationships. So it's usually, if it's not with her mother or parents, then it's a work relationship.
Yeah, I would say issue of perception. It's a perception issue.
Yeah. So then, for this, it's a little bit of, I think, with using relationships for ways of gauging self worth or figuring out the type of confidence level where it's still outward. It still depends on
external, right?
If this happens, yeah. If this happens, then that means I'm a good person or that I'm doing this right, and that therefore
right.
worthy.
It's external. It's so externalized, which is kind of couched in, it almost sounds slightly entitled because it's not coming from that internal place. I think you're right that it is external.
Yeah. So that's, and you know, she's called him for a while. So it's just, you know, you have to chip away at that every so often. And you know, she will figure things out.
In
good time and in the way she needs to figure it out.
Absolutely.
So in the meantime, I mean, she doesn't call in all the time. She calls in every so often, and it's usually near the tail end of the show. It's usually like the last 15 minutes of the show. And you know, we can get in a good groove if you call in, you know, relatively early. I mean, we like to enjoy our time together to chat. It is our show.
So
we can... We can take calls, but you know there is that possibility, you know, that you know we can't stay on the line for a long period of time, and you get
a private reading. That's a different
story.
Right,
you can't have a border on a private reading. Although we've been very, very generous with our time on certain calls when
we are crazy
generous.
We're
really well. I think when we feel really connected to what's happening.
Or someone's
and
in trouble.
Yeah. You know, if stuff really comes to us and it's just like, you know, this is the moment. This is not like, well, I feel this, but I feel like you need to make a private, you know, a private appointment. Generally, if there's something that we can do in the here and now, then we'll do that. And if you know, usually there's another follow-up question, that's when we're like, look, you know, you do need to set aside some you know, private time.
Right. And don't take advantage, not for anything.
Right.
Early on, there was somebody that we basically said, you can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
male.
And that's,
yeah. It was like stalking. It was too much.
Yeah. And that's just putting parameters on our time and our abilities and just really respecting that this is our time together. This is, you know, for all of us. So,
yeah.
You know, we do get a lot of the same people who call in, and these are people
like
more like they're checking in. And that's a little different. I mean, it doesn't feel like, oh, they keep asking, you know, all these things, you know, they want so much from us. It's not even that. It's
checking
in. They're mindful. They're checking in. They're giving us updates, which we do appreciate. Because
it
recognizes the growth. It recognizes the progress. And that's an ongoing story. So, you know, we can appreciate that, too, just like we appreciate the ones who are, like, just kind of stumble upon us and all of a sudden, it's like, oh, you know, you're able to help, you know, in some way. And that always feels good. You know, don't get me wrong. That always feels good.
That always feels
good.
Right.
But, yeah, there's always the opportunity to go in depth with either of us or with both of us. And I know there are listeners who have taken advantage of that, who have called and or contacted us and made private arrangements for sessions. And, you know, that also obviously feels really good to be able to do. Speaking of people who usually call in, there's a hand raised, and that is our friend Lolita.
Okay, we're going to get Lolita by.
Good morning.
Our third co-host. So do you have the weather report?
I know who y'all talking about. Ooh. Just kidding. And I know how y'all feel. That's why I don't do my show. I get it.
Well, I know. You were just like, I cannot. Oh, please.
I'll just tell you how it is.
I will cut these people. I will. No.
That's a trigger point they got to figure out, not me.
Yeah, we shut it down, though. But it's great. Like, you know, everybody has their thresholds. And, you know, what's great is that we, because there's two of us, especially, there are a few times where I'm like, Alisa, I got you. Yeah, there are a few times where I had to check a few, because she's so kind. I had to check a few people that were just plain rude. Not many, but two or three over the years. I had to be like, no, boo-boo, sit down. I got this.
Oh, yeah. I walked in the room about.
Boo-boo, take my earrings. Yeah.
I get it. You want New York.
Yeah. So no, don't play with my girl. Uh-uh.
You want Spanish, Liz.
I did. I got all Latin in it.
Yeah, man. I did that about a month ago. I walked in Adam's room. I took the phone away. And I cussed that girl out. I said, either you want it, you don't want it. Next week, she was there, booked the full session. I thought so. Don't waste my time.
That's really funny. So Adam and I were speaking about Lolita's fabulous roommate, housemate, Reverend Adam, who is phenomenal. He's a phenomenal mystic, and he's actually been my son's spiritual counselor and mentor for over a year now. And what's really cute, so we talk all the time because he's really great to share with me, not to disclose because it's confidential between him and my son, but just to share with me his approach and his concerns and, you know, if I approve certain things and, you know, all of this. And it's been great, and it's made Adam and I have our own kind of relationship now virtually. I've only met him once, but like you guys, I feel we're very close friends, although it's virtual, which doesn't matter because energy is energy. But a while ago, we were going back and forth, and my son has issues sometimes with time management, which Adam and I have discussed at length. And he's like, you know what? The next time I talk to your son Cole, I'm gonna talk to him Lola style. I started.
Oh yeah, he probably said Lola. Yeah.
I'm gonna talk to him the way that Lo talks, because he talks to you, says Lo, refers to you as Lo. The way Lo talks to people, I said, I got that. I said, that's my girl. I said, do it. I said, do it. Let's tag team on it. Do it.
You know, like this one girl has so much going on, and she will call him every week. And I finally overheard him. And I said, that's such and such. I said, give me this damn phone.
Yeah, people will take
advantage, and they want to sit there and chit chat.
Right. We talk about this quite a bit on the air here, where it's like, I say this all the time because this happens in my field of experience all the time. When the person is asked, oh, can we get together? Can I get you some coffee so I can pick your brain? No, I got my own coffee. I'm good.
Yeah.
Cafe Bustelo came out in K-Cups. I'm very happy. Okay? I'm good. I'm really good. Think about that image. You are being eviscerated by vultures, okay? Your brain is. Mm. So the person just dies. So you're just going to bleed me dry for free for a bad cup of coffee that I can get myself? No. And then out of the woodwork, you know, oh, hi, how are you? How are the kids? And I'm like, oh, okay, what do they want? You know, what do they want? Oh, you know, I put you down as a reference for a job, so could you? Sure. Oh, I want to get in touch with the president of HBO. Do you have an address? No, I don't. Why do you think I'm going to go to HBO? But whatever. And like, hey, friend, people get... Yeah. And there's a whole trickle down with that where and again, it goes down to perception and it goes down to value.
Well, that's funny how you said that, because my best friend comes sees us all the time, and she came to my house to see my mom on a Friday or Saturday, and she had basically told me that she was thinking about taking her daughter to a psychologist. I looked at her crooked.
Oh, no.
And then then all of a sudden, I said, well, you know, why would you do that? And blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden she said, I don't want to see James. And I'm like, well, listen, the minute you do that, I'm done. We already told you what the issue is. Me, James, and Adam. And matter of fact, one more was already
all the
talked about this.
all that
that's all that was.
So generous to give that information.
Yeah.
Ooh, for free.
So, yeah, and so her answer to me, this is what kills me.
Yeah, I want
to
hear this.
This is my best friend. So I worked with her at my old job, and she moved. She got another job making $22,000 more without no degree. Awesome for her.
Yeah.
And then the minute I say, if anybody really wants to work on themselves, it's like a membership. You know, you pay a membership
lifetime membership. Yeah.
And I said, I go, people figure it out. You know, if you want to get it done, you'll get it done. I said, people want to go get a car. They sure enough go get a car. People want to get a home. They sure enough get a home.
Yep.
And there's no value to it. If you want clothes, sure enough, the first person to watch get clothes, go eat food,
right.
Keep your cable bill on, your TV bill on.
Yep.
And then she goes, Lolita, after I pay all my bills, I only get a couple hundred. I said, so turn off your utilities. She's like, then you know where you could tell where the resistance and the fear came up. And I said, when I told her about the membership thing, she said, now you sound like the church. I said, don't you ever. I got up and I got in her face. Don't you ever, ever call me that. Matter of fact, I am the church, matter of fact, and I get it done. So don't even get it twisted, I said. All of a sudden, I get a text yesterday. She's like, well, she's not resisting and coming to see you and Adam. I was like, oh, no, she isn't. You're resisting, not her.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is my best friend. She's my little sister from another mother. But, you know, the point is, you know, a child going that route, we know automatic. And the reason why she wants to go that route, because she doesn't have to pay for nothing. Are you kidding me?
Well, yeah,
but then you just,
it's mainstream. It's probably covered by insurance.
Insurance.
How old is she, the girl?
11.
Thank you. I was going to say 11. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So whether it's spectrum issues, which I don't think it is, or it's ADHD issues, which is going to be a label, but of course that's not what it is. But it's just this whole.
It's the easy way out. What parents are doing.
Well, listen, with I have an 11-year-old. I have an 11-year-old. And I've talked about this recently on the show, and you know, my husband's like, "Well, do you think he has ADHD?" I'm like, "Nope. I think you don't want to get off the couch."
Yeah.
Nope. And I think children, especially of this age, there's so much going on with identity. There is so much going on with self-awareness and where you are in this. Freaking, I almost cursed, in this hologram of an experience of a world that is so chaotic, madly beautiful, and monstrous all the time. It's so much to process. It's also a little bit of tech addiction. So whatever electronics and that blue light that needs to be minimized.
Yep.
Okay, I'm just really picking this up. And I knew the girl was 11. I knew it. Self-identity, it's huge. Her place in the world. It's the culture versus being in the U.S. A lot of confusion and a lot of material. There's a lot of, there's so much emphasis on the material. And she's crying out. This is why energetically and unconsciously the little girl is drawn to the vibe, to the energetic signature of what you guys can offer. Whether she's met you guys or not, it's just there's a knowingness energetically, psychically within this girl that it's almost like... remember in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the island of Misfits, right, where she's going to feel amongst her tribe and so respected and regarded as a full person. She's not being regarded as a fully formed person. When you, whoever it is, if it's a 6-year-old or a 106-year-old, if you are connecting with them on a soul level, signature to signature, blueprint to blueprint, it's astounding the level of understanding and communication, the sophistication that can exist. And I know this to be absolutely true.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of, between me and him, Jane's already working on her, and Stu and all of us, we already knew where it was coming from.
Yep.
And you know, I think also the fear from Mama also comes from really also, it's really about self-protection right now. That's what's going on. And Mama being self-protected and not wanting to get to her core, because I told her that too. I said, see, don't drop too far now. I said, so.
Yeah, because you look at your kid, you got to look at yourself.
Yeah, I mean, like, the parents that are so quick to do things for their child are not really taking a look at themselves and really
changing them
because they're the leaders of that family. Parents are just so quick to do this first. It's like the airplane. They say put your mask on first before your child.
Right, exactly.
But they don't do that in everyday living.
No,
it's not about your
child. It's
yeah.
a default setting, right. So
yeah.
all the millennials, you know, and all the kids, so everything's being done for them, and then they don't know basic life skills, number one, and number two, everything needs to come instantly because we have technology, and they don't leave home because they have free rent. They have everything, all their needs met, and then the parents feel like, I do, but there's no, like you say, there's no inner reflection of the epigenetics, of the DNA, of that responsibility. So it's almost like, well, I did all this work, so didn't I pay my dues? Did I do my responsibility? I'm trying. No, it's not. It's not about that. It's about learning through your child about yourself.
Yeah, that's exactly what I told her, too.
Yeah.
And because she was like, well, my mom said that. Like, so you're telling me the mom that you have issues with, the mom that did this, you're taking advice about that first? First of all, you ain't do your homework. She ain't doing homework. What gives the both of y'all to make sure that you're going to put this child in the in a psycho ward? Are you kidding me?
Oh,
I got no
God.
Respect
That's,
for you.
Yeah. Thank God that you're in this girl's life. Because you really could be the key to opening up her life to possibilities that would have remained dormant. And I say this again a lot on the show. All the possibilities, every kind of possibility lies dormant within us.
Yeah.
Everything. This is why when people say, I didn't release it, you know, no, it doesn't go away. The possibility will stay there because that gives you the wisdom and the knowledge, and you're able to lead intelligently and make choices based on your experience and based on your traumas and all of that. It doesn't cripple you. It supports you. It defines you. You know, when people say, oh, my God, you know, this person died who I love so much in my life, will I ever get over it? No. But you won't grieve, it's not going to go. Will this go away? No, it won't. Your grief will, but we change all the time. And so many of us are so afraid and resistant to change that if we look at it differently, that change is great. Change is what's supposed to happen. That's half the battle. It's good.
Yeah.
So where are you guys now with working with this little girl?
Oh, I just got this text yesterday because Mama gave her an option because she freaked out when she booked her session with the psychologist. And then she was like, well, you have an option. Either you're going to go there or you're going to go see Adam Lolita. So
I got a text last night. I'm going to go with the cool people. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know Anaya I know her for a very long time. So it was just like I've known them for a while, but
this girl feels safe. She feels
yeah.
safe. And that whole thing, the psychologist and all of that, energetically, this little girl knew it's not gonna happen. And it's very interesting with my 11-year-old, now he's black. He's in a transracial adoption situation. We adopted him at 7 weeks. And I know the issues are there, and he's doing great. But I know that if it was up to him, he would have never been given up for adoption. Who wants to be, you know, as a child? Who wants to feel like they were given up? You know, don't give up on me, okay? Okay, so we're going to deal with that thread. Also, no one in the house looks like him, you know? And I'll say to him, I wish I could give you the thing I can't give you, you know? You're my son. I'm your mother. And I know that these are things that, of course, you think about. Now, thank goodness we live in the heart of New York City. Thank goodness, you know, my household and my friends and my colleagues, it's the United Nations. Thank goodness, you know, he has lots of black friends. We have a lot of collaboration, community. All of that is beautiful. But at the end of the day, he's not being raised in a black household. You know, and thank goodness there's a lot of influence. It's not like he's, you know, in the middle of like, you know, Maine, and he's totally like, oh my God, I'm on another planet, like help me. At least it's not that extreme, but it's extreme enough for anybody.
Yeah, no matter what the atmosphere is,
it's extreme enough.
He's still going to go through what
Absolutely.
He has to go through.
So this
yeah.
is what I said to him. Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no denial of that. I'm so aware of that. And I've been transparent with him from the day we took him home, you know. And I said, listen, if you ever need to talk to anybody, I have the you know, number of someone who specializes, she was also adopted. She specializes in this. But also, if you ever want to talk to Adam, you know, because he's seen his brother talking to Adam when he was home before he left for college for the past year. And he's like, yeah, maybe one day I want to talk to Adam. I said, just let me know and I'll make it happen. Boom.
Yeah.
Boom. Because no matter what, and I knew it too. I knew when I took him home, I'm like, ooh, we're going to have quite the journey in terms of later in life for me. And when he's coming into his manhood. And thank goodness it's not only a transracial, multicultural household, it's a energetically spiritual household. Thank God. Because we can talk about different dimensions. We can burn the sage. We can do our little ritual. We can meditate together. Like, thank goodness. Not that that's going to have me sidestep this. No, we have to face this. We have to embrace it. But the fact that there is a preparedness to embrace that, I think will minimize the trauma. It's not going to eliminate the trauma, but it will soften the trauma.
Yeah, I mean, you got all the tools right in front of you, and if you
I got
don't
my
have
people.
Tools, you know,
I got
you got
you
your people.
People.
Yeah,
I got my people.
Like,
yep.
Yep. You know, so I guess, you know, everyone's path is different, every parenting is different, and that's why some people that don't resist accomplish a little bit more, and some people that resist keep
that's
resisting
the whole thing.
Until when their soul
it.
Is ready.
You absolutely said it. With the really being aware of the resistance and to embrace it first so that you can manage it, like, okay, I'm resisting so good. That just cut it in half. I'm resisting.
Yeah.
I'm pissed off in such a great way. Boom. Yeah, go me. I just really gave that person so much shade and they really shouldn't have. Oh, my God, look at how great I just judged my husband. Ooh, yay, go me. It just chips away. It lowers it. And then all of a sudden, there's no resistance. And that you just trust in non-linear time. We use linear time to create structure and time management because it's no different than traffic lights. That's how I compare time to. It's like traffic lights. It manages the chaos, but then there is that trust in sources time. And if you have the gumption to just always remind yourself, no matter what, I'm taken care of. Just that.
Yep.
As a foothold.
Yep.
yeah, you might, you know, scrape your knees and whatever, but that's okay. No matter what, I'm taken care of. I'm okay. Even if you could just get those two words out, I'm okay. Even at your lowest, I'm okay. That at least cuts into the story. I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Yeah, so that's wonderful. I'm, especially when it comes to kids, I'm really happy to know that this little girl is going to be put in such beautiful, energetic hands with you guys. And this will be what's great. It's going to be the gift that keeps on giving, because as you guys are working on this little girl's energetic signature and her field, you know, you guys are going to help clear it up, and she doesn't have to be burdened. It's almost, I'm getting with this little girl, kind of like energetically what I feel has been the case with you a little bit, Elisa, with almost like that kind of energetic burden of like a lot being put on you since energetically as a child, like ancestral, you know, it's almost like this girl. So when her signature changes and it's aligned, what's great, just by this girl being lighter and happier, because she will be. Kids are great. They bounce back phenomenally. She's going to take to this, and the progress is going to happen rather quickly over time. It's going to just evolve and refine itself. What's great is that she's going to be the energetic ambassador to the household. And then it's going to reflect on everybody else and help heal what's going on. So it's a great investment. And the same with you. There's a parallel to Elisa, that with your refinement and your alignment with your energetic signature and your self-awareness, you're going to see it reflected in the strength of others around you, like your aunt.
Mm.
It's going to be very obvious.
Like, something to look forward to.
But yeah, because you're in it right now. Because you're like,
yeah.
What the hell is she talking about? Well, not now, but that's, you're going to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's,
yeah,
it's
well,
parallel.
It's, you know, there's a lot going on, definitely. We know with like extended family, just and it's a like an ongoing pattern when you have like people who have been together forever, and you know that's not perfect. You know they're
nothing
not
is. Right.
You know, nothing is. But and I've seen this with various people throughout my life where, you know, you sort of see them on the surface, and in some cases, like when I was a lot younger, there was, you know, this. But they were like the standard, like the ideal. And then as time progresses and as people grow and change, to then see when there's like the inner workings and sometimes the inner not workings, you know, stuff. And
right.
And feeling like a combination, like your vision is clear, but also the rug's been pulled out from underneath your feet.
Because you
feel like, whoa, I thought they had everything together, and
nope.
Even when they had issues, that they, you know, they were somehow able to work things out because that's how it was, and then you find out, oh yeah, we're getting divorced. Like, what? I remember
that always happens.
That.
Yeah, it's always
yeah.
A shock. It always seems like the people that are just, oh, never, you know, and it's really funny because my husband and I, we throw down. But guess what? We're never going to, we will always be faithful and we'll never get divorced because
right.
We throw down.
Right.
Because we're not pretending that it's all whatever. But it's all, oh, but it's always those couples that you're like,
yeah.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like those perfect pictures.
We never fight. Well, maybe
in
that's
fact,
the problem. Oh, we've never fought.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Or it's like little subtle things that you find out later. Like, you know, when so-and-so talked to you, that was the first time that person really ever opened up. Like, you know, that person never said that stuff to me. I'm like, whoa. You know, like, I thought, you know,
that's funny.
I thought I was just passing the time, you know, but at
it's
a meal,
what people will say. Yep.
Wow.
That's
yeah.
funny because when I was
yeah. Everything. It's really, have you guys, I'm sure you guys have noticed that where, again, it's that energetic signature recognizing that it's safe. And, people, complete strangers have told me, like, the most, you know, you're online or you're someplace. I'm like, and they just know it's safe. Jury duty. I'm like, okay. And he said, what? You? Okay. Yeah, it's crazy. And I'm sure, Alisa, you probably get this more than me because I can be a little, me and Lolita, we can be a little, you know, have our claws out. But Alisa, you're like the cat that got the claw, but you forgot. So people are going to, I'm sure people are going to be really drawn to your energetic signature.
Yeah, I get a lot of people. I get a lot of people who disclose information to me, and I'm like, I didn't ask for it, but
no.
Okay, you know, that's been that was from an early age. I've had people just feel that they can let loose and talk to me, and I'm like, okay. And half the time, I'm like, I don't know what to do with that information. You know, it's just like, well, you just really, I know people just wanted someone to listen. You know, I can do that, but then some of it got really, really heavy.
Right.
And I can feel when it's all of a sudden there's a clinginess now to this conversation, and like clearly you're going to want more of these types of conversations, and I just don't think I can do that. I know I can't.
And this is because Lolita, I actually have a question that I really want to address to the two of you, because there's no regard for the person that's listening, the great guidance, the intuition, their clairvoyance, the skill set, whether it's being psychic or numerologist or any whatever, no regard, just bleed me dry, parasite, thank you. And my question to you guys is, because I'm very curious, when you're so tuned in to another's energetic signature, whether it's a conversation with a stranger or a family member or a close friend or lover, whatever, anything else with your child, okay, that's one thing. That's your pleasure. That's your commitment. That's your honor to be there. But then when you're in the world at large, and I had to explain this to my husband, because it's only now 5-6 months later that I'm getting used to him not leaving the house to go to work, because I need to feel like I'm by myself, even if it's just for a little bit. I absolutely am starved for that. And I had to explain to him, I said, look, it's not that I can't stand the sight of you, although it might seem that way, but that's not what it is. That's not what it is. What it is that I need a reset, because when I'm out on the street or I'm on the phone or whatever, I pick up on everything. I kind of have to have my blinders up. I know what the poor homeless person is thinking that's, you know, laying in the blanket. I know what the entitled, you know, a billionaire is thinking as they, you know, hit me with their briefcase as they're, you know, not even noticing me on the street and everybody else in between. When you know just from, and I'm in the middle of new freaking New York City, so it's a lot. So when you're so tuned in, it's not like, oh, she's such a good listener. She has great advice. Where do you think that comes from? That comes from being such an empath. We do this show 3 times a week. Lolita, you have your practices and your clients and your store and all that. So we're always exercising this muscle, right? So we will be out in the field, so to speak. And if we allow ourselves to pay attention, we're going to pick up on so much hyperstimulation and experience of what's going on that, you know, I'm going to feel what the – you know, 50 racist people that, you know, I come across randomly on the street without even giving them eye contact. Like, I'll feel that. I'll feel this chronic depression. I'll feel this elation, all these. So how do you guys, and I know my environment is more extreme than you guys, but it doesn't matter. As being very empathetic by nature and that being so developed, how does that get balanced? How do you guys balance that?
I mean, honestly, I've gotten to the point over years where I've just learned that whoever wants to come forward will come forward. Until then, I just block everything out.
Yep.
Or if I'm in the middle of a conversation and if automatically, if I feel like that person is not ready to listen or if they're trying to talk, I'll just go the other way or shorten that conversation
yep.
really quick.
Yep.
That's just how I would do it. And then, you know, and every day, you know, waking up and clearing and the more grounded you feel, the more, you know, you can be in control of that.
Well, that's why I meditate every day, religiously.
Yeah.
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 And just connect. I mean, you have to at the end of the day. But for me, that's how I do it, girl. I do not take on anyone else's burdens or issues or emotions because this doesn't belong to me.
No,
so
it's
if you
not
feel
taking
like,
it on. It's the exposure. So it's like being
yes.
exposed to like a nuclear fallout. So it's like I have to find the has.
You have to find something that you can say that when you come to that thought, like I have something that I say that comes to my mind.
Yep. Share that with me.
I will say like, God, now I can't even remember, but the psychic debris does not belong to me.
Okay, perfect. You know what? That's what I needed to hear, because that's what it is. The key word, debris. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's really what I need, because there are 600,000 homeless people in New York City.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I get it. Like, whenever time me and Adam talk to somebody or we pick up something, and I, even with family, I mean, let's just be real. I mean, you're kind enough to say with family and partners or whatever, but I don't even go that route even. I take it to the whole extreme. I mean, look, that doesn't belong to me. Y'all know if y'all want me, come, you know what to do.
Right, exactly. Alisa,
so,
what I find interesting is, you know, the different environments, and also knowing your sign, it's just so fascinating to me,
right.
Because, you know, Lolita's another earth sign, and she's a Capricorn, and that's about as no nonsense as it gets. So it makes sense.
Right.
She's like,
sure does.
You know, we're just gonna cut that right now. And Liz, you know, you being in New York City, you have to, because you are gonna be surrounded no matter what you do.
Yep.
You're gonna be surrounded by a lot of different energies. And for me, it's like I live in a place, and I like being around different types of people, and by nature of the things that I do, I'm usually out of the house and around, you know, groups of different people at any
right.
given moment.
Right.
It's definitely changed over the years.
Right.
So that I'm not in that environment as much, so I have enough downtime just in my own space to
right.
take a break. And I honestly don't meditate a lot. I don't meditate every day. I used to do something like that, and I just it kind of cycles out where that's not how I want to spend my time.
No, what's going to happen with that, because I was the same way, what's going to happen like that is it's going to be something that you crave, that you want to do
right.
it, and you need to do it, and you like to do it, and you crave it. Otherwise, I'm with you. And that's what, and that's just what
yeah,
it's
I'm
evolved.
With,
I used to be
I'm
just,
with you guys,
I
too,
be,
on that. I don't
I
meditate
be,
every day.
Yeah, I used to be just like that, and now it's like I have to do it. And it's not obligation, it's I want to. I'm driven
right.
to. I never thought I would get to this point ever, and it's like I need to do this. I want to do it. I need the time to do it. And every time my husband leaves to walk my 11-year-old to school, that's my time to meditate.
There are times when I will sit still and I'll do a quick grounding and I'll breathe and I'll just, you know, imagine my own energy flow.
Right.
I'll do things like that when it's time for me to do that. I'll do that before I go to like a big family gathering. I'll do it
that's
after.
Good. That's insurance. Yeah.
I'll just, because I'll feel it. And I think that's what I've noticed over the years as things have been shifting for me is, you know, not to automatically be in resistance because it, you know, of, oh, you know, I mean, I can pick and choose where I want to go. I can decide,
right.
Well, I've had enough and I'm going to step away. And so it's been a process of making those decisions. And then making those decisions and not feeling guilty about it, which has been a process.
Yes,
because when
of course.
You're used to doing something a certain way and
right.
and used to kind of catering to everyone else's expectations.
Yes.
To be able to make some of those changes, you know, it took a while just for me to make that decision and realize,
sure.
you know what, this world is going to continue spinning without me
exactly.
in this particular place.
He's trying to be so
doing
nice.
This particular role.
Right.
So over the years, being able to feel the difference in how I receive information and then the information I decide to put out, because I'm definitely refining that. Where
yes.
Sometimes being able to listen and then not say anything and not or what I decide to say is not to necessarily offer. Well, here's my advice. You know,
exactly.
it's not even
just
that. I have
yeah.
to wait. I have to wait until someone says, they ask me something. I want them to do some work. You know,
yes.
that's what we're talking about, you know. But then after a while, if someone just wants to keep talking, then I can decide, well, I think I've had enough. Like, this
right.
isn't going to serve me. You know, this is not the conversation that I need to be in because
exactly.
this person just
and then
wants
you shut
talk.
It down. Boundaries.
Yeah, so then I move on. Yeah, yeah. But I'm learning that. You know, that's.
Yeah, of course.
Because I can. If you know, especially if someone is like if it's a good friend of mine, you know, I'll sit and listen when we can go all day, you know, just okay, well now it's time for a coffee, okay, now it's time for, you know, lunch. Okay, now it's time
right.
for dinner. You know, we can
right.
go all day just talking. And you know, I have no problems with that. But after a while, like that threshold, if it's really just spinning in circles, or if there's just a lot of anger and there's no resolution, because for someone like me, I want to be able to help. I mean, I want to be able to fix
right.
something, and I realize it's not my mistake.
Right.
And so I need
right.
to move on. And so
right.
when I can do that, then it takes that pressure that
yes.
I naturally accept.
Yes.
It takes it out of me. And what I end up doing is I usually just do something that makes me feel better. You know, afterwards, I just step away, whether it's just taking a walk
right.
or if it's, you know, just getting caught up in all my TV shows. I just take time out from you however I want to spend it.
Right.
And then I go to sleep. And you know, when it's been like a really busy weekend or just – like the last few days where
right.
you know, I'll sleep in. I'm like, no, I don't have a show in the morning.
Yep.
I'm going to sleep in. And that's what I need to do.
Good for you.
And then I feel
better. That's great.
Yeah.
And it's like we talked about on the last show, you know, if it's productive or pleasurable,
right.
you know, proactive,
uh-huh.
those things, then you know you are on track and to set the back. Yeah, and I'm great. Like with my one-on-ones, I'm great. I will shut it down. You know, somebody's. It's so funny. Like if somebody's just in that story, that victim narrative, I just and they're on and this one and that one did this to me and this happened to me and da 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 and da 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 and I just keep repeating. I just keep repeating to them. Yeah, but you're not a victim. You're not a victim.
I'd be like, are you done?
Yeah, you're not a victim. Or they'd be going off about somebody and I'm like, guess what? I'm right here. I'm right here, and you're just hurting yourself right now. You done?
Yeah.
You done? Yeah. I say the same. I say the same thing. What I would love to do in the last 5 minutes of the show, which I have to do a solid exit at 9:29:59, I have to go to work. I would love, since we have Lolita on here, I
uh-oh.
Would love you. Yeah. What do you mean? Uh oh. I would love for you to pick a message for the show since you're here.
Okay.
So, of course, she don't do no music, so there'll be a couple seconds of silence, and Lolita, just say pick, because I'm already on the database.
Pick.
Okay. The number for this, it's a two-digit number, which is rare, is 67. And this is the message. As your higher self drops down and grounds into creative self-expression, it is time to remove the mask of survival and denial tactics and be free. This is just what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
All the people, all the resistance, all the stuff that we see. Because with most people, the majority, they're wearing the mask of survival, and they're all about denial tactics. That's the resistance, and that's what we're seeing, and that kind of affects us, because we can so feel that dividing line between the difference of, I just want to do my day-to-day and feel as little pain as possible, and that's my life. That's most people.
Yeah.
That's most of the planet. And then it's the multidimensional awareness, the spiritual aspiration, the expansion, the quantum physics, the awareness. So this is a fabulous message to wrap out the show. I'll read it again. And Lolita, you always do, both of you actually, do a great job of picking amazing messages for the show. As your higher self drops down and grounds into creative self-expression, it is time to remove the mask of survival and denial tactics and be free. 67.
Well, we have these two numbers again that tend to show up a lot. The six shows up a lot, where there's that nurturing, loving energy of the six. It's also a nice teaching energy. And it's also a number, you know, when we get to the extremes where it's like too sacrificing, you know, too dependent on somebody else or a lot of other people depending on them, liking them for the role that they play. So we get that mothering number, which is not a bad thing in and of itself, but it can be smothering and very limiting in full expression for everybody involved. Because there's a particular role that has to be played. And that's the only way a lot of people tend to feel their self-worth, is by fitting in this role. But then you get the next number, which is a seven, which takes this energy from the six and turns it in, so that the seven is a lot more discerning with how the energy is going to be spent, with who it's going to be spent with, what it's even going to be focusing on. So the seven takes the internal narrative and says, okay, this is what's really important. This is really what I need to look at. So when you have those two and you actually have a nice balance of feeling genuinely concerned or compassionate, you know, or having compassion for others, but knowing when to rein it in, knowing when it's not necessary to be like, let's not go over the top. I don't need to be the martyr. I don't need to have be canonized as a saint. This ends up being the structure for how a much more balanced life and much more complete life can be. So that ends up being a four. So being able to really look at what your foundation is and seeing that it is a good blend of being loving and compassionate and also being wise and discerning and spiritual and more internal, as balanced internally as you are externally, but it has to start from inside. That's what this is about.
Amen.
So,
girl,
you know, when we remove this mask of survival, that's sort of like the six, oh, woe is me, I'm trying to help everybody and, you know, and no one cares. You know, I'll leave the burnt toast ends, that's fine. I'll just eat these crumbs, even though I made this great meal for everybody. You know, that type of energy. And denial tactics can also be with the worst of the seven, where it's like very, now discernment to judgment. Like, you're not worthy of this. So that, being able to find the best of those energies is really what what that sequence is about.
That was so well said. My God, that was great.
Mm-hmm.
And, Lolita, I do have to say thank you, because I wrote it down, the psychic debris does not belong to me. That's all I needed. That's all I need. So when I work these streets, girl, that's great. That's very, very. It just takes something, just a sound bite, and that makes all the difference in the world. So that's like energetic sage. So thank you so much for that. And I love when you can join us, our third co-host. So we're gonna sign off. So thank you so much, Lolita.
Yay!
Love you so much.
Love you.
So if you guys need to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Radio on Facebook. Check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. We're scheduled to be back on the air this coming Sunday at 9 a.m. United States Eastern Time. I know the clock's going to change or something at some point soon. And I know, right? Here we go. I think we get an hour, though, so that's good. And in the meantime, remember to follow
the feeling to you.
Thank you guys for a fabulous show. Yay.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
love you.
Bye.
Bye.